First Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 5, Paul says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day." Now, in the Greek, that is, the word is huios, sons. But I believe in the King, do you have your King James?
No.
Oh, okay. But in King James, I believe it says children. But the Greek word is sons, but it's sons and daughters. So, ladies, you don't get off easy on this one, okay? For you are all sons and daughters of light and sons and daughters of the day. And then the verse that immediately follows what Janine read just a minute ago is, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. I'm not sure why that got left off of that epistle, but there you go. For you are all sons and daughters of light, sons and daughters of the day. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Now, as we know, the physical, the natural world reflects what's going on in the spiritual world. And so today, what I'd like to do is to look at the laws of thermodynamics with you, because that definitely applies. Okay? Yeah, everybody. And I see these glazed expressions going, oh, really? Yes.
Is that like a RUD?
A rapid unscheduled disassembly? That may be a pattern for the church if we're not careful. But anyway, all right, thermodynamics. No, seriously, thermodynamics is the study of the effects of work, heat, and energy on a system. It's really simple. And you actually know a lot about thermodynamics, even if you don't realize you do, okay? We're going to concentrate just on the second law of thermodynamics here today. And that deals with the transfer of heat. You know this stuff, right? She's a teacher. Of course she knows this stuff. No, don't think, sing us a song, please. No. Anyway, but it deals with the transfer of heat. And the second law of thermodynamics says that heat flows spontaneously from the hotter to the colder. Okay? So when Janine gets up in the morning in the winter and she's freezing to death, what does she do? She goes to Jack and lets Jack wrap his arms all around her, and the heat that's in Jack spontaneously goes to Janine and warms her up, right? That's how it works. Okay, yeah, there you go.
You know, Ethan demonstrated that Monday. Transfer of heat from one thing to a cooler thing.
Oh.
Burn his hand.
There you go. Yep. The heat definitely went to the cooler. There you go. Well, think about it, like right now. In this room, it's about 70 degrees. And my body is 98.6 degrees. If I put my hand on this lectern, the heat from my hand is going to go into this lectern, and it's going to warm it up. That's how this works. It's going from the hotter to the colder, okay? Now, there are molecules in everything physical, all right? And they're constantly in motion, all right? And as you heat up that lectern, okay, those molecules that are in there begin to move more quickly. They begin to move very fast, okay? And as they're moving, then it actually begins to expand. You don't see it here. But, for example, if you took a pan of water and you put it on the stove, you could actually look into the pan as the heat's going on in the water, and you can see the water beginning to move in the pan. Are you with me? Okay. Now, if you were to fill that pan all the way to the lip and you put the heat on there, then as the molecules began to move, it would actually flow over the edges of the pan because it's actually expanding. Okay. Probably the best example of this is a hot air balloon. Okay? If you are trying to inflate a hot air balloon, you start by putting a fan there to open the envelope a little bit. But then as soon as the envelope's open, boom, you hit the burners propane burners, and it's heating up the air that's inside that balloon. It's not actually getting more air. It's just that the air in there is expanding to fill the envelope. Okay? Are you with me, everybody? Yeah. See, this is not hard stuff. All right? Okay. In John chapter 8, in verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Okay? We are sons and daughters of the light. We are sons and daughters of the King. We are sons and daughters of He who is the light of the world. And so we possess that light, and we are to bring that light into the dark places of the world, to bring the fire of the Holy Spirit with us to warm the cold and dark places of this world. And what the world needs, hear me out, what the world needs is for Christians to practice spiritual thermodynamics. Right now, the condition of this world, it's a little cold, it's a little dark. Mm-hmm, exactly. But there are molecules, as it were, souls out there. They're moving in the darkness, and they think everything's just fine. They don't even realize they're in the dark. And even if they do realize in the dark, they think the dark's preferable to the light. They believe the lie. But as sons and daughters of the light, we need to bring the light and the heat of the Holy Spirit into the dark places. But the problem is that as Christians, even if we do go into the dark places, we tend to be reactive instead of proactive. We see what's going on there, and we react to the darkness rather than proactively bring the light and the heat and the warmth of the Spirit to bear. We respond to the darkness rather than being bearers of the light. Now, we don't need to tell those who are in the dark that they're in the dark. They know they're in the darkness, but would argue that the darkness is good. Actually, Miranda saw a backpack or something on a coworker's desk. Was that yesterday? Mm. Said, Satan saves. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're happy in the dark. But we need to bring the light and the heat to them. But we don't need to bring the light and the heat to them in judgment. We need to make the light and the heat to them an attractive thing, something that they desire, something that they want, to set the molecules moving quickly, to excite them and help them to see the joy and the love and the beauty of the Lord. So what do we do? How do we respond to this? What do we do as spiritual thermodynamicists? Ooh, run that one by somebody. Okay. Well, first and foremost, we don't respond to the cold and the dark. If they want to argue, don't engage with them. Don't engage with them. Bring the truth, but bring the truth. And this is key. Please hear me out. Bring the truth, but bring it in love. Bring the truth, but in love, not in agitation and confrontation. Okay? St. Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians, said, speak the truth in love. And that's what we're called to do. Speak the truth in love, not in judgment. We're called to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And think about that. Those nine fruits of the Spirit, you know them, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. if we come bearing the fruit of love, we're going to love them, even though we may not agree with them, even though we may not understand where they are, but we're going to love them where they are and for who they are. All right? Bringing the joy of the Lord, not the judgment of the Lord. Come in peace. With gentleness. Practicing patience. Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's not easy. Sometimes we just really want to throw up our hands and run screaming out of there. But be patient. It takes time for the Spirit to do His work. But He has chosen us to be the vehicles for His spiritual work. So be patient and kind. Practice kindness, goodness. Let me give you an example of goodness. It is so easy now in Asheville, with all of the traffic we have, to just bull ahead in traffic, okay? You want to startle somebody? You want to get one of those molecules moving a little faster? Pause and let them come into the traffic ahead of you. Oh, my goodness. How can somebody do that? Practice a little goodness. Faithfulness. Do what you say you're going to do. And above all, self-control. They may attack. Do not attack back. More light, more heat brought into the dark and the cold places of this world will bring about the expansion of truth in the world. And more will see and know, and more will come to that truth. Avoid the arguments. Communicate. And listen. Listen to what they're saying. Enter the discussion, but don't respond. Turn the tide. Let me give you an example from the scriptures. When Paul went to Athens, he saw all the different altars that were there in Athens. Did he start immediately? That's not a god. No, you heathen. You don't understand. No. He went around. He looked at each of them. And then he saw one that was to the unknown god. He said, let me tell you about this unknown god. He turned the tide of the conversation. He didn't confront. He didn't argue. He just brought the truth. He said, let me tell you about this guy. This guy is Jesus. And here's what he did. And he did it for you. How many were converted? I don't know. But they said, well, we'll listen to you about this again. Which may be a way of saying, shut up and go away. But at least he presented the truth. And don't be afraid to go into the dark places. Don't be afraid to come into contact with those who are opposed to the Spirit. The darkness cannot douse the light. And the cold will never extinguish the warmth. All right. There is a second piece to this spiritual thermodynamics, too. And that's that verse that I read that was actually after the epistle. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. Some mornings it's harder than others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Folks, if we're going to go into the dark, we need to be working together. Jesus sent them out, not one by one, but two by two. Even better, send them out 12 by 12. But too often, what happens in the church today is that we want to promote our understanding and our interpretation of the truth. And what it amounts to is we end up giving opinions. We're to speak the truth in love and to exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not only with those out there, but even more importantly, with those who are in here. To have the love and the joy and peace and patience with one another, to encourage one another. It doesn't mean I have to agree with you on everything. Chances are really good I'm not going to agree with you on a lot of things. And you're not going to agree with me. But we can agree on one thing. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells within us both. And we can work together in love and communion with the Spirit. We don't have to agree politically, sociologically, economically, whatever your particular bent is. And I don't have to share my opinion with you in order to love you. So practice spiritual thermodynamics with each other. And as we do, and as we see the heat and the light getting to work, we're going to see the kingdom expand. One last thought about all that. This is one that Marshall Kerr used to say a lot. He would say, you know, I need to take my hand off the transmit button and tune in the receiver just a little more clearly every now and then. We're so busy transmitting, we can't hear what's being said. Remember what the Father said to the disciples on the mountain of the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. What was it? Listen to him. The person who you're talking to may be the very spokesman for the Lord that day. Tune in and listen. Spend a lot less time transmitting and a lot more time receiving. A word that my mentor, Father George Gillespie, gave to me before I headed off to seminary. He said, one thing you need to remember as a pastor, memorize this phrase. You may be right about that.
Emphasis on maybe.
Now, Hugh, that's a dark statement. That's not a statement of life. The physical world really does reflect the spiritual. And it is time for us, the sons and daughters of the light, to practice spiritual thermodynamics. Bring the light of Christ and the heat of the Holy Spirit to all the dark and cold places, and to your brothers and sisters, and watch the kingdom expand. Amen.